Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
And in the middle of the word choice are the letters OIC.
Deb DeArmond on Focus on the Family Minute.
And I have to remember to see him. I have to remember to see all of the things that he sows into our life together and how he very intentionally loves me. I need to make a choice on a regular basis because it's not something that just bubbles up to the top of my brain. And I think for a lot of couples, the demands of work and family and all of the things that pull on us, church and ministry, make it hard to sometimes remember, wow, it's been 2 weeks since we've had even just a conversation that had anything to do with who's other than who's picking up the kids and did you go to the grocery store?
Yeah.
And so making a choice, a purposeful, intentional choice, that begins to gather some speed and it does become easier. It does retrain your brain.
Make the choice and see your spouse. More from Deb at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Driven to be the best.
The veteran-owned Ted Miles Motors in Atascadero.
The cars you want, the people you like.
Serving you for 49 consecutive years.
Just plain good deals without the hype.
Ted Miles Motors, same location since 1975.
Selling
Ted Miles Motors, in business for 49 years, has sold over 13,000 vehicles and is the longest established used car dealer in San Luis Obispo County. So whether buying or selling a car, truck, van, SUV, motorhome, or classic car, visit their easy-to-navigate website, TedMilesMotors.com, or their showroom, 7380 El Camino Real in Atascadero, next to Farrell's Auto Repair.
Driven to be
10 Miles Motors, Atascadero.
Right now, I've got a special going on all my Chatham & Wells mattress sets.
Rich London, the mattress specialist in Paso Robles, tell me more.
I'm taking 15% off my already low prices, which I'm the lowest anywhere. I'm significantly lower than Mattress Firm and online prices.
You'll find Rich London, the mattress specialist, at the corner of 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
The Rest of the Story. When he was a little boy, the other children called him Sparky, after a comic strip horse named Sparkplug. Sparky never did shake that nickname. School was all but impossible for Sparky. He failed every subject in the eighth grade. He failed every subject. He flunked physics in high school. He received a flat zero in the course, distinguishing himself as the worst physics student in the school's history. He also flunked Latin and algebra and English. And he didn't do much better in sports, although he did manage to make the school golf team. He promptly lost the only important match of the year. There was a consolation match, and Sparky lost that, too. He was not actually disliked by the other youngsters. Throughout his youth, Sparky was awkward socially. Nobody cared that much. He was astonished if a classmate ever said hello to him outside school hours. No way to tell how he might have done it dating. In high school, Sparky never once asked a girl out. He was too afraid of being turned down. You see, Sparky was a loser. He, his classmates, everybody knew he was a loser, so he just kind of rolled with it. Sparky made up his mind early in life that if things were meant to work out for him, they would. Otherwise, he would content himself with what appeared to be inevitable mediocrity. But this is the rest of the story. One something was important to Sparky, and that was drawing. He was proud of his artwork. Nobody else appreciated it. In his senior year of high school, he submitted some cartoons to the editors of the class yearbook. And almost predictably, Sparky's drawings were rejected. And yet, while the young man had stoically rationalized virtually all of his failures theretofore, he was really rather hurt by the general ignorance of what he believed was his one natural talent. In fact, he was so convinced of his artistic ability that he decided to become a professional artist. Upon graduating high school, he wrote a letter to Walt Disney Studios, a letter indicating his qualifications to become a cartoonist for Disney. Shortly, he received an answer, a form letter requesting that he send some samples of his artwork. Subject matter was suggested. For instance, a Disney cartoon character repairing a clock by shoveling the springs and the gears back inside. Sparky drew the proposed cartoon scene. He spent a great deal of time on that and the other drawings. A job with Disney would be so impressive, and there were so many doubters to impress. Sparky mailed the form, mailed his drawings to the Disney studios, and waited. And one day the reply came. It was another form letter. Politely composed, but it said that Disney Studios hired only the very finest artists even for their routine background work, and it was determined from the drawings which Sparky had submitted that he was not one of the very finest artists. In other words, he did not get the job. I think deep down Sparky expected to be rejected. He'd always been a loser. This was simply one more loss. But you know what Sparky did? He wrote his autobiography in cartoons. I mean, he described his childhood itself, the little boy loser, the chronic underachiever, in a cartoon character the whole world now knows. For Sparky, the boy who failed the entire eighth grade, the young artist whose work was rejected not only by Walt Disney Studios, but by his own high school yearbook, the young man was Sparky Charles Monroe Schultz, the creator of the Peanuts comic strip, the creator of the little cartoon boy whose kite would never fly, Charlie Brown. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. Today in the studio, I have Debbie Peterson. She is the author of City Council 101. It's an insider's guide for new council members. She has also been a mayor of Grover Beach. She's been a council person. She is currently running for mayor, and she knows the rules and how a city council should run. I also have Dave Nelson in the studio. He was involved in the no parking referendum. Parking is gone, but he was one of the signature gatherers and one of the primary people behind the referendum. We are talking about Ty Lewis's lawsuit against the city, and also this social media firestorm, all making allegations and literally throwing mud at making very false. There's a lot of very inappropriate things showing up on social media. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the show today?
Well, I have a question, especially with your expert there about this. Why should any city council, especially in a beautiful small town like this, have any private meetings at all? Because there, if you guys want to discuss, go having a beer, you could do it at your own, on your own dime. Well, there, for these meetings, why should they have a private one? This is a small town.
Let her answer.
In any size of town, there shouldn't be private meetings. They all need to be public, and they shouldn't even be out at the pub having a private meeting. They should, and unless it's two of the five, you can't have more than two of the five, but there shouldn't be private meetings except in rare circumstances. If they're discussing legal settlements or human relations, or if they're discussing real estate.
No, don't interrupt. Stop.
We are.
Okay, if you ask a question, you got
to
let her answer.
All the time, and it seems like there are private all the time. I totally agree. There shouldn't be any. It's a small town. We pay taxes. I don't want you to have a private meeting about what? It's buffoonery, really. It's foolish, and all of the dirty laundry coming out now. I'm not saying it's pretty ugly, and this is too ugly for a town this beautiful. I moved here 16 years ago from big cities.
Let's let the guests answer the question. Thank you very much for calling in. Okay, you were going to go off there. I know there's three reasons you can meet in closed session. Will you tell the public what those are?
Oh, well, this is a good quiz. It doesn't matter what the size of the town is. The Sunshine Laws are the Sunshine Laws, the Brown Act. And if you're doing real estate negotiations, if you have the threat of a lawsuit, if you have an employee issue, then those are reasons that you must meet confidentially. However, even in employee issues, if employees say they want it out in the open, then that should be allowed also.
And I have seen where they've discussed legal actions also in the public. So the board can vote to do it publicly,
yes,
on any of those items.
Probably not for the employee, but other than that, yes, employees do need to be treated as employees.
And I have seen where the employees, when they're going to have a review of an employee before then, they have to give them a chance to say, not in private.
Exactly.
We're going to do this right in the open.
That's right. Yep. At their option. Yes.
And so I the closed session meetings, but I don't know, I'm trying to say that the attorney says, well, maybe in the future there could be a lawsuit. So we're going to discuss this in closed session, not in the public eye. There's already allegations that the attorney firm has made multiple mistakes. They've admitted to making a mistake that caused the ordinance to fail, the paid parking ordinance. But then 4 out of the 5 council members, only one that wanted the attorney to pay for it, he brought up during a meeting, they have insurance. Shouldn't we look at the nearly $1 million were in the red and have the attorney cover this? The other 4 looked over at Ty Lewis. He shook his head no, and they all said no.
And guess which council member that was?
Oh, you mean the one the city manager doesn't like?
That's the one.
And I want to add, Karen, I don't know any of these people. I have never met any of these folks. And so I'm not coming at this with any kind of a personal bias. I'm simply looking at what is usual and customary and what is required behavior of elected officials and their appointees. And the elected officials are the board, and the city manager reports to that board, not vice versa.
Bravo. Thank you.
Yes, and the city council works for their constituents. They are not employees. They do not work for the city manager.
They do not answer to the city manager. The city manager answers to them.
And they are supposed to oversee and make sure the city manager and the city attorney are doing their jobs. That's their role.
It is. As board members, that is their role. Yes.
And they answer to who?
They answer to the people.
To us?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm shocked.
The folks who live in Paso Robles or wherever they're representing.
I grasp my pearls.
Now, after Ty Lewis, after it became public, what he said in the claim, Ty Lewis put a pretty lengthy thing on Nextdoor. And Debbie, what did you think about his Nextdoor statement?
I found it alarming. If there's ever a time that a city manager should not be speaking, it's during election time. And when he starts to speak about electioneering and people who are running, it's highly inappropriate. In fact, I as a city council member, I would have to question that if I were reviewing a city manager. That kind of behavior would give me cause.
And what do you think, Dave? You have it in front of you. What did you think
I'm looking
about this this lengthy discussion? If you want to give us a couple sentences from it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It starts with why you ask, and then he turned off any comments, responses to it. I found it threatening, which is contrary to him being the victim in his claim that he's not able to work, but then he seems threatening, and I dare you to come and see the light. Sorry, my mic's a little low here. So he turned off comments, but I've posted a comment that was a response to his, and I don't have that in front of me, so you'll have to go look at it. But anyway, it looks like you have a caller that might want to say something.
What worried me
about all of that, the post, is he several times referred to dark times.
That's right.
And it was ominous. It actually was ominous. And I'm thinking, is this a Halloween story? And it seems as though he's almost wanting to hold the whole city to ransom. And I've never seen behavior like this from a city manager. It's very unprofessional.
Here's what it says. Dark times are on the horizon. The good news is you can prevent it. Demand answers from those who have the power to give it to you. Wow.
He also says, now the public has a choice. Do we pursue the truth relentlessly and take action, or do we tolerate illegal, unethical, and immoral conduct from our leaders? Demand better, demand truth, demand transparency. So what he's claiming here now, it appears, is that what he's saying is the truth, that Chris Bausch got Mike Rivera to say things, that Linda George made false accounts at the direction of Chris Bausch, that Chris Bausch gave me information from closed session. It's very, very interesting. But the bigger issue to me is the allegations of electioneering. And for those that don't know, there was a gentleman that had signed up to run against Fred Strong. And that was Glenn O'Hagan. And Glenn O'Hagan filled out his paperwork. He turned it in. He got his signatures. And then he went in and if they didn't put the zip code, he added the zip code. He went in and thought, maybe I messed up and I shouldn't have done it this way. So 3 or 4 days before the last day to turn it in, he went in and met with the city clerk and said, is this okay the way I did this? He was told yes. He waited a couple more days, got a couple more signatures and handed it in. And in the end, she waited till he could not, after to pass the date of denial, and sent him an email saying, you have another person's handwriting in that, and we can't accept it because there's another handwriting. That is legal, but she had already told him it was acceptable. At the same time, I get a call from Fred Strong, and Fred Strong tells me, you know, that guy running against me is a bad guy. He had found out from Ty Lewis, who was, remember, law enforcement, he had been told that this was a drug dealer. And also that he had bought the baby, a baby, out of the back of a van.
Oh, my God.
And I said, you know, Fred, I know what happened partly here because I saw some of the court, what happened in court. He won. And he said, Karen, his husband's name or boyfriend's name was on the birth certificate. And that's because they bought it. Well, let me tell you what Glenn has said, and again, the court agreed with Glenn in the end. He got no criminal charges, but it took so long, he lost the baby.
Oh.
What had happened was there was one of the women in town who made claims that this officer had raped her, became pregnant. She knew that Glenn and his husband wanted to adopt a baby. She told them that they could have the baby, and she was going to put him down as the father, the spouse. And they were there when the baby was born in the hospital. They didn't buy it in the back of a van. And they took the baby home with them. Not long afterwards, the officer that was possibly the father showed up at the house, claimed it was dirty. There was people overheard. There's audio tape that's very bad. There are claims that the officer said, I do not want those. The F word for being gay, to have this baby. And there is audio tape of several things with officers where they talk about manipulating the facts so they don't get it. But here's the bigger issue to me. While he is trying to keep Fred Strong in office, Ty Lewis, and Fred Strong did say he got the information from Ty Lewis, Ty Lewis spreads information from a child custody case, which he can't legally repeat. He's talking about following the law, following what is supposed to happen. He cannot repeat false allegations as a former chief of police to keep someone that is supporting him in political office. And then again, in the end, Glenn is not running. Do you think he should have been spreading information to help Fred win this election?
No. No, he shouldn't be in electioneering in any way. And he really, there's just so much that's wrong with this. There's so much that's unprofessional in this behavior. And I'm just baffled. I've never seen a city manager behave like this. Sometimes they'll do things behind the scenes, but I've never seen a city manager come out in this bizarre fashion with threats. It's very unusual. It's very odd.
So I have to agree with Ty. We should pursue truth relentlessly. Amen. And take action, right? I agree completely mm-hmm. with the statement. We should not tolerate illegal, unethical, or moral conduct.
Absolutely. So let's get to the bottom of it. But hopefully he can behave more professionally.
Well, the thing is, he has to file a lawsuit now. The city will be covering, there is investigations going on. Things are being looked at. And here's the most important thing. There's audio recordings of almost everything. There are multiple claims in here that Chris Bausch on the show told me, for example, that according to Ty Lewis, which, we don't seem to have any evidence of, he claims that Chris Bausch said that he was paying bribes to a consultant on the parking and that I repeated it after he said it. There is audio tapes of those meetings. So it's very hard to make a claim when there's an audio tape. He also said that Chris Bausch said he was having an affair with the head of the chamber, and he writes down that he said something like, they appear to be in bed together. Debbie is appearing to be in bed together. We'll get back to this afterwards. Do you believe that means someone's having an affair? We'll be back after a word from our sponsor.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with stocks ending lower following disappointing data that show that inflation failed to improve as much as expected last month, while more workers filed for unemployment benefits last week. September's Consumer Price Index showed that prices rose 2.4% annually, and month-to-month prices increased 0.2%. The figures were slightly hotter than expectations. Shares of TD Bank fell 5%. The Canadian lender will pay a historic $3 billion in fines and other penalties as part of a settlement with U.S. regulators over charges that it failed to properly monitor money laundering by drug cartels. The Dow winners, Travelers, Salesforce, and United Health Group. The Dow decliners, Home Depot, Goldman Sachs, and Boeing. The Dow falling 58 points, the Nasdaq down 10, S&P 500 down 12. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
During Cybersecurity Awareness Month, LifeLock wants to give you helpful tips to protect your identity. Using multi-factor authentication can be a line of defense to help protect your personal information. But LifeLock offers comprehensive protection against identity theft. LifeLock not only alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information, but also fixes issues that arise, guaranteed or your money back. Protect your identity today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use my name, Clay, as the promo code. Terms apply.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Hi, I'm Brian Carroll from A1 Glass. If you're a contractor, home builder, architect, or designer and need quality glass railings, windows, doors, and more for your next project, look no further than A1 Glass. We are dedicated to making your job easier by getting our job done right, on time, for your supply only and installation needs. Simply send us your plans. Our expert team will take care of the rest. It doesn't get easier than that. Contact A1 Glass today. A1 Glass, for all your glass needs.
Pacific West Steel, specializing in metal roofing and metal siding for homes, barns, awnings, commercial buildings, and more. Offering customers multiple product solutions. No job is too big or too small. For longevity, energy savings, and durability, call Adam Andrade, Pacific West Steel, the industry leader, 805-238-1783. That's 805-238-1783 for Pacific West Steel.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursdays. Today I've got Debbie Peterson. She has written a book called City Council 101. She is very experienced as a former mayor, a former councilwoman, currently running for office, about how a city council should behave. And we also have Dave Nelson, who was involved in the paid parking referendum. We're discussing Ty Lewis's lawsuit and a lot of these social media attacks and some of the childish behavior that's happening in the city. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the table?
Well, this is Gary Lehrer, and I'm just flabbergasted by this whole thing because Ty's attorney didn't talk to me. Apparently, he didn't talk to anybody who were potential eyewitnesses. Chris and I talk maybe once a week. Our conversations are very brief. They're to the point. He's very scrupulous and careful. As a result of the parking thing, and I know that they were thinking that Chris probably told me or must have told me things from closed session. And I figured they probably assumed that. And as a result of that, Chris and I are very careful that we have, that we can say that we've done everything right and above board. So these accusations, I mean, the Chris Bausch I know is not the one that's being portrayed. There's no reason to even address this because this is just so far-fetched. This is just not, if he was leaking any of this information, I'm sure I would have heard it. I'm sure he would have told me, but that's not his nature. People who know Chris know that that he has nothing to worry about his reputation being sullied.
I have spoken, I've interviewed Chris on the show probably 5 or 6 times, and I spoke to him about different questions, not on the air. He has never brought up any sexuality issues of anybody. Has he ever talked to you about anything sexual regarding Ty Lewis or anyone at all?
No. As a matter of fact, if I start to whine or complain or vent, he cuts me off. And he doesn't want to hear it. He just wants to focus in on the issues. And he's been very, very good about, actually, I consider him a mentor. And he's, very, very good about me not whining and complaining about people. He just encourages me to, to just stick to the facts and not talk about people's issues. But just because it'll backfire on you, you've got to remain unemotional, calm, and factual, and you can't engage in anything that might be perceived as character assassination, even if you might be true about the person, and it'll come back to bite you. That's the way he is. I found him to be very principled, ethical and a man of principles, and he's a devoted Catholic, and he believes he answers to God. And that governs his behavior. So, you know, and frankly, I've told Chris, you've got nothing to worry about here. Anybody who knows you knows the type of person you are. And if they don't know who you are, then people like me will stick up for you. So that's why I'm really baffled. Ty and I get along. We've been at the opposite poles on issues. He's been really nice to me. But, the fact of the matter is that Chris has a reputation of being a reformer. This is exactly what happened with the school board. He got apparently in trouble for pointing out. I mean, this is an exact replay of the Chris Williams thing. I think I might have mentioned that before. But it's really interesting how we see how somebody, spends a lot of money or got the school district in financial trouble, and now the city seems to be in worse shape financially.
The city their proposed budget had a $43 million had a $43 million deficit. They had to cut spending on services, they deferred projects, and they pulled money out of their reserves to cover it. So the city, and I will tell you, I read budgets. This city is worse off regarding their deficit spending than any other city in San Luis Obispo County.
Well, and then he wants a payoff for leaving the city, and we saw this with the Lisa Solomon Chitty. She ran into problems and she got a payoff, and then of course the Officer McGuire was a huge problem, and the city got sued as a result of his actions. And we're just seeing that there's a pattern here of just squandering money, and in Chris Williams and now Ty Lewis, they want going away money. To me, and I hate to say bad things about Ty because we are in good shape and we're in a good relationship, but I mean this to me seems like it's just like maybe we can settle for maybe half this or less, and I'll just go away and stop causing trouble, because I don't see that where he has any basis, and I've talked to other people about this. And the attorney's not talked to anybody. And if this really goes to court, I think it's going to really backfire on Ty. And my advice to him would be just drop the whole thing. It's not doing you any good.
And in the paperwork I got from the city, they said that they didn't. The attorney doesn't usually call all the witnesses. But the city did pay an investigator to look into this. And again, there's allegations made that I got closed session items. I was never called. There's allegations made that Chris Bausch directed Linda George to make fake social media accounts. She told me she was never called. The allegation is that Chris Bausch got Mike Rivera to make a false criminal complaint. He was never called. So if the city paid an investigator, I'm curious who he spoke to.
Well, there's more money wasted on an investigator. Hey, I've got to agree completely with Gary on Chris Bausch. He seems completely up and up. He seems to know the rules of city council better than the rest of them, from my observations.
At any rate, I got to tell you, my dad went through a similar situation with an employee. They went through discovery, and during the process of the discovery, it didn't go well for his employees. So that's my advice. Drop it, Ty. And I think everybody will be grateful that you did something for the good of the city, county, and and good luck on your next career. And everybody would be happy if you were successful in that. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Gary.
Talked to Linda George today. And both of us are, we're focused on the campaign, on fixing the roads, transparency, and making Paso a great place to live. Excuse me. I'm choking. I got to go.
Okay.
Got all choked up there.
I want to bring up another thing. Yeah. You showed me something from social media where there it appears that Ty Lewis has started a PI service. Can you read us a little bit about what the statement? When you're starting a new business, you have to do a doing business as statement in local media. And there is a doing business as statement allegedly coming from Ty, saying that it's Ty Lewis. It is his house at the country club, in the country club area.
Yeah.
And it is regarding starting his own PI business.
Yeah. I'm trying to find it here.
Caller while you look for that. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Oh, after listening to all this, and I'm like a couple of callers ago from another area, came here several years ago. I'm worried. Who is the controlling authority in the city right now? Certainly not individual council. It's not the council. It's not the mayor. It should be the city manager tends to be the senior full-time administrator. If not him, I know we have a temporary guy, but whose hands are on the wheel controlling the city? I mean, we should be focusing on a lot of things here in Paso Robles, but this garbage that's going on, and I'm not saying one side over another side, I think everybody is culpable in this, but who in the hell is in charge of the city of Paso Robles?
And that's part of the issue here. There's been a lot of allegations that the council thought they were working for Ty Lewis and not supporting the public. But am I saying that right? I've actually heard he's doing a very good job.
Yes.
The interim city manager.
Well, I think the fact that we're hearing nothing from him is probably the best possible job he could be doing. He's probably got his head down getting the job done and not out there saying, look the other way, folks. Because
Probably. We don't need the muckraking. We don't need the headlines. We don't need, love Calco's News, but we don't need this hitting Calco's News either. I mean, Karen, I'm sure you got better stuff to report on. But my God, if you were an outsider looking here at Paso Robles, population 20,000 people, you'd be saying, holy crap, what the hell is going on? Are those people drinking their own wine? It's just ridiculous. And you know what? I've been an executive. I've made internal promotes. But maybe we ought to look henceforth. Maybe there ought to be a standing ordinance that we don't do any more internal promotions to certain positions. This is why, tenure is a great and wonderful thing, but also tenure breeds out perspective. Tenure tends to breed out compliance. Tenure, we got to get rid of the good old boy and girl network. That's why new blood, fresh blood, and I'm not talking from Bakersfield or Madera. I'm talking somewhere else where people, come from, a place that has strong governmental ethics, strong business acumen, et cetera. But if we always do what we've always done, we're always going to get what we've always got. And I'll finish with this. The definition of insanity is what? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting to get a different result. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Hi, good afternoon. As interesting as this conversation is, I think you've sort of missed one of the most important aspects of this. Regarding Mr. Lewis's post on Nextdoor, and I haven't been on Facebook, but I'm guessing it's a repeat of that. That's an ominous post.
It is.
And when you think about it, this is a man who is out on not only a medical leave, but a medical leave that involves a mental issue. And this is a man who has a license to carry. Mm. And when I think about that, and I read his post, and I think about some of the things that he has done in the past, I think that's an issue that we ought to have somebody investigate.
Call the FBI. They're the ones who look into corrupt government organizations.
Yes, well, I'm not going to live long enough to go through the FBI to do that.
It's about a 10-year process sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that, I think that's a real issue, and I think people should be concerned, because this is a man who's standing right on the edge, and if you didn't know it before you read his post, you know it now.
Thank you very much for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to add to the conversation?
As the attorney who beat Mr. Molsky, you ought to just let the attorneys handle it from here on. You can't try a case in the public.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for calling in. We're going to take a break from our sponsors and be back with more with Debbie Peterson and Dave Nelson.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
Hey there, glad you could make it. Come on in.
Wow, your kitchen looks amazing. So does your whole house.
Thanks. We just had our cabinets refinished by Peek Painting. They did such a fantastic job, we had them come back and paint our whole living area.
I guess you could say they have your stamp of approval.
Yes, sir, just like everyone else on Google and Yelp. Booking a quote is easy. Just go to peakpainting.com. That's peekpainting.com. And book a time and day that fits your schedule. No back and forth phone tag, just click and book.
Sounds too easy.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peek Painting at peekpainting.com.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
Hi, I'm Wesley Dawes with Stove and Spa Center, and it might be hot now, but winter is just around the corner. So Stove and Spa Center is having a huge 36th anniversary stove, insert, and fireplace sale. We're overstocked, so don't miss out on big savings on quality cast wood and gas stoves by Hearthstone. How would you like being warmer this next winter and save money too? It's possible with a gas or wood stove from Hearthstone. Hearthstone's highly efficient wood and gas stoves come in many styles to fit any home's decor. Save big on Hearthstone stoves and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's big sale. All the products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com. Save big on Hearthstone stoves during Stove and Spa Center's 36th anniversary sale going on right now. Don't miss out on all the special offers at Stove and Spa Center. 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero, between Curbrail and Moore Roads.
This is Ron Cuff along with famous local DJ SK, reminding everyone that local voting matters.
For Paso School Board, Kenny Enny. Let's keep Enny Enny.
Elect a lion, Leo. Leo Castillo for Paso Robles School Board.
Vote for the real McCoy. Lauren McCoy for Paso School Board.
We all need a Hunter. Hunter Breeze for Paso Robles School Board. Let's keep downtown parking free and fix the roads.
And vote Michael Rivera for Paso Robles City Council District 3.
This message was not paid for or endorsed by any candidate or candidates committee.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealy. I'm your host on Wednesdays and Thursday afternoons. And right now we're talking about all the issues in the city. We've got a couple big issues here. The city is in financial ruin. It is $43 million. Their proposed budget had a $43 million deficit. I'm going to give you an idea of another city, Arroyo Grande. They just finished out their four-year budget. They were $5 million in the black. They had $5 million extra. The only city in this county in this kind of financial turmoil is San Luis, or is Paso Robles. I will tell you, in Santa Maria, they have a similar issue. What happened in Santa Maria? We're in a really bad economic times. They're not a tourist destination. Their TOT is more about families visiting and people there getting a room. Their TOT is in the toilet. Their sales tax is also way down because the economy is bad. Meanwhile, they gave too many raises. They have almost the identical problem of Paso Robles, and they're talking about serious issues, you know, how they're going to cut it back. Paso Robles hasn't done anything. They're not, you haven't seen meetings where they said, we're in serious financial times. We have to look at cutting costs, cutting employees, and how we stop this bleeding from happening. That isn't what's happening here. But that is the big issue. There's also the issue with the city manager wanting over $2 million because he said Chris Bausch gave him dirty looks and asked him about his sexual orientation and other things, which this is not proven, and there are many allegations in there that are provably false. You also now have the city looking at there's a city council race, and you have people running for city council who are involved in the online media storm of a lot of false information showing up. We are taking your calls, 238-5775. I have Debbie Peterson in the studio, and I also have Dave Nelson. Debbie, what do you think they should be doing if you are mayor of Grover Beach again, and they have a major budget deficit? What would you do?
Well, you don't pass the budget, certainly, until you've fixed it. You can't pass a negative budget. Well, you can. They do. But
they fixed it. What they did is they cut out a bunch of services, they deferred maintenance projects, and they pulled money out of the reserves to back gap. So they've covered it, but you can't take money out of reserves and stop repairing roads and doing infrastructure. They are trying to get a sales tax increase.
Well, you fire the city manager and you find someone who can manage. It's pretty straightforward. You get someone, if you have someone who can't do the job or who's obviously acting in an unusual manner for a city manager, you probably need to get someone in there who is a more professional city manager. That's just very blunt. But you need to be addressing the issues. And I think the thing that's constructive for me is I see that the public are very engaged and they're very involved, and I want to make sure that they don't get sidetracked on the drama and look away from the real issues at hand, which are things like streets, and they are things like parking, and they are things like how the community wants their city to be. So I think the voters will be sensible, and they'll see this for what it is.
Hey, can I ask you about the roads in Grover Beach?
Well, the voters in Grover Beach actually voted for a bond while I was the mayor. I was the one who got that done. They voted in favor of a bond to fix their streets.
Really?
And
how much was that?
I think it was around $46 million.
Okay. And how was that paid for?
It's paid for through their property taxes. Last year, it was about, their property taxes were up about 10%. It's going to vary year to year. It's a little bit less than that now.
Okay.
And the roads there are much better than
it's much better. And it's resulted in a tremendous amount of pride, huge improvements in the city. And the commercial community is the one that's put a lot into that. And they don't benefit from it. It's the residential streets. So it's been a really good partnership to get that done.
Our residential roads, apparently, some of them have been neglected for 50 years.
I've been noticing that.
And now they need sewers underneath that are 100 years old to be replaced. They claim $350 million of maintenance. Yes, shocking. The E12 half-cent sales tax was 12 years, and it's going to expire coming up in March. They decided 12 years ago to fix the not-too-bad roads and fix more of them and leave the worst roads to be 12 years worse now. And now they're trying to pass I-24, a forever half-cent tax, which they want to bond out $59 million, which will still fix some of the roads, but not 300.
There
and
was,
then we'll be out of the sales tax again in 5 years, and then what?
Yeah, sales tax will probably never be enough to fix all the streets, well, and that's the experience Grover had.
Yeah, the city claims that it won't be enough.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and again, every city's different. You've got to crunch the numbers.
Yeah.
And again, how we got here, for those that don't know, 30 years ago, there was about 40% of every budget in government spent on infrastructure and roads. As they have started these very, first started with the pensions for fire, really high salaries for fire and police, and they retire in 25 years, 2025, with very high pensions. It was unsustainable. So that started it. And then they started this new thing. The management salaries are over the top. There are people in the county making over $400,000 a year, and more than one making well over $400,000 a year. It used to be you had good benefits with government, but you didn't get as much of a salary. Now you get way better benefits, less time working, better vacations, and a much higher salary. And it's not doable. I mean, Santa Maria actually went through and said, why are we this far off? And it came back. What happened was you gave huge raises to management and you don't have the money to pay it.
City manager makes over $300,000 here in Paso. What is it in Grover Beach?
I think it's getting close to 400.
Holy
and for our town of 12,000 to 13,000 people,
wow.
He has an assistant city manager too, which is new. We've never had an assistant city manager in the past.
We do too, but right now he's the interim city manager doing both jobs.
And as a reporter, what I've seen is a doubling in management salaries about every 8 years is a doubling.
Wow.
And what they do is they have these meetings and they go, they call it the comparison model. And they go and they said, we picked these six similar either cities or counties and we looked at what they're paying their management and we're 10% shy. So they all give raises, and then the guys that were high before go back, wait a minute, now we're comparing, and here's the 10 people we're going to compare to.
Round and round.
So give us more money, but the public cannot afford it.
That's how inflation goes round and round.
Well, and the reality is that that money that the public pays is to serve the public. It's not to serve the city managers. It's there for the use of the public, for infrastructure and for services.
It's too bad you're not running here in Paso.
Well, I might get run out of town.
Well, you're welcome.
I might
here.
Be up.
So I have to plug Debbie's book here, which I glanced at while I'm here, and I bought three copies on Amazon while we're sitting here.
Thank you.
One for myself and two for a couple of candidates. You know who you are, so watch for those real soon.
Thank you.
And it's called City Council 101. The rules, if you look at them, you know, The city councils are there to make land use decisions and to also have oversight over two people, generally. It's the city manager they can hire and fire and the city attorney.
Right.
And if things aren't going well, it's their job to clean house. They are responsible for making sure the city manager does his job.
And for representing the people.
Number one.
Going to the people to ask what the people want. And that's not happening here
in Paso.
At the
top of the organizational chart is the people. And when I was in office, every organizational chart, I made sure the people got to the top.
Brilliant. We need to do that here.
And the other thing, I've noticed this change in the last 5-10 years, where city managers and county administrators want everybody to meet and before the meeting and kind of come to a meet, let's go over what we're going to be. I've been told, it's like, we're going to appoint these two people to this committee, and they're making decisions. That used to be called a serial meeting. Does that happen in Grover Beach at this time?
Not that I'm aware of, no. And those are called secret meetings. The serial meetings are when you go through another person who tells another person, no, she thinks this, and then the other person says, so that you've got all the five council members polled without actually... specifically.
But that's what the city manager is doing.
Yes.
He's getting consensus. So I believe that might be a serial meeting.
That could be.
And Debbie, I want to thank you very much for coming here and driving all the way up to the North County to share some of your wisdom regarding city government. Thank you for being here today. And Dave, thank you for being here today.
And I want to thank Debbie for coming too.
Well, gosh, it's been a lovely afternoon.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for listening. I will be back next week.
This hour of Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM was brought to you by Farm Supply, serving your fencing, irrigation, and livestock needs since 1950. Farm Supply, for the farmer in you.
AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.